Well, a warm welcome here at 93.6 FM. It is Tuesday, the 30th of August, 2022. And can you believe it? The month is nearly finished. Here at 93.6 FM, your good news community radio station based in KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. I'm your host, Chris Meyer, for the next half an hour or so. You listening to the South African Military Christian Fellowship program called At Ease. Yes, you heard correctly. It is that time of the evening, that time of the week to listen to our favorite program called At Ease. And friends, a warm welcome to you one and all, to all our military personnel and even those who have been retired. You are so welcome. And our regular GNCR listeners, welcome. May God bless you as you're going to listen tonight. We have a wonderful program for all of us, as we know that we always start on a good note with devotion by our chaplain, Ben Smith. Then we have the Navy Band with wonderful music for us. And then we have our testimonies. And one of those, again, remarkable testimonies. And we have our challenging questions from the captain. We have the news so that we can bring up to date with the latest. Yeah, then we are signing off. I trust that you will sit back and relax wherever you are. Maybe you are in your car. Maybe you are sitting there somewhere in the army, in the border, or in some place standing guard, are responsible for something or for someone. May God bless you as you have this time together that we're going to listen to now, to our beloved chaplain, Ben Smith, as he's going to read to us John 1 from verse 1 to 5. Again, continue with a very, I think sometimes, a complicated subject called relationships. So thank you, Chaplain Ben Smith.
Good morning, everybody. I greet you in that wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And once again, our scripture reading is taken from John 1, verses 1 to 5. In the establishing of a relationship, understanding of that relationship is of utmost importance. Please join me as scripture provides us with a golden thread that is just a joy to follow. Number one, have you noticed that word is spelled with a capital W? And you know what it means. And secondly, then the person called Word was with God. He is also revealed that person Word is God. And that he, the person Word, is beyond and above time, like God is beyond and above time. And through him, that is Word, all things were created. He is life and he is light. And furthermore, we discover that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So the question remains, why? So let me tell you, sin equals darkness, and darkness equate to not understanding. And to this darkness of sin and not understanding, the Word, the light, and life came to search and find you and me. Because he who is before the beginning began wants a relationship with me. Can you now see the lamp to your feet and the light to your path? Let us pray. Father, we don't deserve that you would have a relationship with us, but that's your desire. And thank you, Father God, that you are just so relentless in your pursuit of each and every one of us. The depth of your love, no one can fathom or understand. And to you be all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. Lord Jesus, thank you that indeed you are the Word. You have forever been and you will forever be. Come and bless us today in a tremendous way, as I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Chaplain Ben Smith, for that devotion, John 1, from verse 1 to verse 5. Relationships, yes. You know what is God or God's ultimate desire? I said it many times, I preach it many times, that God said in Exodus chapter 25, He gave an instruction to Moses after so many, many years that he chased Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, that the people of Israel must build themselves for God a sanctuary. Because he said there, I want to dwell, I want to live amongst my people. You know, ever since that relationship with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden was being broken because of their sin that they commit, God's heart was always after His creation, His people. You know, Ecclesiastes 3:11 say that there's eternity has been poured out in every person's heart. In that place, that eternity, the only person that yet can really fulfill it or fill it is Jesus Himself. So God was willing to live among His people externally, a sanctuary, a place where God can reveal Himself, a place that has been consecrated to God, a place where the worshiper can come and express his love and gratitude towards God. And this, in the Old Covenant, was only externally until Jesus came. That ultimate desire to have a relationship with us is now possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, by putting our faith in Him, trust in Him for the gift of eternal life. Now God will not be a wanderer as He go from place to place to place as the tabernacle was being moved in the Old Covenant. Now He can have a place, a permanent dwelling place where the sinner can come and give his life to Christ, and that body, that life became a sanctuary for the living God. And then His ultimate desire is being fulfilled. Is that ultimate desire of God, is it being fulfilled in your life? You know, because that place of emptiness, that eternity that has been put in your heart, has a lock with 5 digits. We try to fill it with everything else except, and we can't open that lock because, you know, sin will never have enough. Sin can never be satisfied until you have got the code to unlock that lock, so that that place that is rightfully reserved for only God, that person can walk in and fill it. And the numbers of that, digital dock lock has this 5 letters, JESUS. He unlocks that lock and fill that empty space that we try to fill with everything else except Him. I trust that this devotion of a relationship was a blessing to your heart. We're going to listen now to our first Navy band piece of music, and that is a Zulu song that is we're going to play, Ukutula. It means be quiet, be still. I think of Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Let's listen now to this piece of music here on 93.6 FM.
Hukutula.
I think it's one of the difficult things to be still, to be quiet. I can remember many years when I received my my instructions to show up in the army for my national service for 2 years. I received the first instructions to go to Zeres to be a gunner. And I was so looking forward to that because my heart is there, and to be, you know, a soldier, and especially for a gunner. I don't know. Man, it is as if the adrenaline just pump in your blood, and that sound of those cannons, and it is just, man, it is breathtaking. You know, when it goes off, it takes the breath out of your lungs. It's just another experience. You are in a different world. And not very long after that, I received my second, you know, call-up instructions to go to Kimberley to be an infantry. Oh, I was so sad. And I couldn't understand why they called me first up for Zeres, and then, you know, they changed their mind, and now I must become an infantry, you know, wearing the green beret. And I want to be a gunner. And that was difficult for me to accept and to be quiet before God. And I was so... Remember, guys, we were young when we go to the army. I was 17, and in that year I became 18. And, you know, it's still, well, a young lad. You don't know it all. You will never know it all. But this verse was so prevalent to me. Be quiet, be still. God knows the best. And I think in His sovereignty, now that time I will not say even what I say now, but I think in His sovereignty, God know, because He always know what is the best for me. Although I couldn't understand that and couldn't, I struggled to process that. And at the end of the day, I go to Kimberley, go and be an infantry, a soldier. It was, and my heart was always linger to go there. Maybe I must apply for, you know, and I, well, at the end of the day, I drop it. And I know that, okay, Lord, I'm in Your hands. Even my call-up instructions is here, so let it be. And yeah, I enjoy my time. I hate it. And I don't want it over again. But I also love it. And I will not change that for the world. As difficult as it was and tough as it was, you come in, go in as a boy, a young man, and you come out there changed. Something, the army just do something to you. Teach you discipline, teach you respect, teach you to work together, teach you to obey. People will not ask twice, they will just ask once, and you jump on attention and you do it. So, yeah, thank you for that song. We're going to listen now to Graham Wilson with this testimony from Major General Tim Cross. And the theme of this testimony is called An Eye Opener. Let's listen now to Graham Wilson.
Major Eye Opener. This is taken from a testimony from the South African Military Challenge newspaper. A trip to Jerusalem at Easter so convinced an army officer that Jesus really did rise from the dead that this officer was changed forever. The dramatic experience took place when Major General Tim Cross was in Israel with his wife Christine while on leave from a peacekeeping post in Cyprus in 1981. His Christian faith is now the driving force of his life. He was raised in what he described as a typical middle-class British home, attended a Church of England primary school, and, like many people, assumed he was a Christian. He even took the unusual step of being confirmed while at Sandhurst, the military academy, took communion during his wedding, and had three children christened. But there was no relationship with God. And when the opportunity came for a short break in Israel over the Easter weekend, he and Christine hitched a ride on a United Nations plane to take in the sights of the Holy Land. I remember going past the bus station near the Damascus Gate and noticing the hill behind it looking like a skull, thought by some to be the location of Jesus' crucifixion, and referred to in the Bible as Golgotha, the place of the skull. On Easter Sunday, we visited the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, generally considered to be built over Jesus' tomb, and then attended a service at St. George's Anglican Cathedral, where it was suggested I visit the garden tomb not far from the bus station. Our guide, a retired military officer called Colonel Dobby, showed us around. He read the Gospels, the Bible accounts of Jesus, and most importantly, pointed out the empty tomb cut into the rock on the edge of the garden. I had a look inside. The tomb looked exactly like the Bible's description of the grave where Jesus' dead body was laid after he was crucified, and where Jesus walked out alive 3 days later. I was really struck by the reality of the empty tomb, the fact that Jesus did not stay dead. God did something powerful in Tim's heart. He wasn't the same man afterwards. Back in Cyprus, he had a very good army padre, chaplain, and within 2 months he was a committed Christian. Meanwhile, Christine had started attending a Bible study and had committed her life to Jesus independently of me. Everything changed from a personal point of view. It changed the way I led and commanded, and it changed my view of the world and the way I saw myself. As to whether faith should mix with firearms, he admits to taking stock of whether it was appropriate to continue in the military. He prayed about it, spoke to others, and studied the Bible. he concluded that there are Christians needed in the army and everywhere as soldiers and followers of Jesus. He says the ethos of the army, the call to fight for justice and to be a force for good in the world, is rooted in Christianity and still is, despite today's political attempts to secularize the army. He also told the BBC in 2008 that as a community, the British Army recognizes the issues of spirituality, goodness, righteousness, justice, evil, and wrong, probably far more than most. While at college in the late 1980s, his director wrote of him, "This guy is very committed Christian. He does not bash people over the heads with it. He just lives it out." The general added, "Faith had to be a part of who I was, how I commanded, how I spoke, and the decisions I took." During his third tour of the Balkans in 1999, Tim was a brigadier in charge of 5,000 multinational troops and civilian agencies establishing refugee camps after the Kosovo War. "I received a CBE from the Queen, but," he says, "I just gave the orders. The men under my command did all the hard work." In 2009 interview, he said, "If you lose the moral component, you lose everything. I think we, collectively in the West, have gone through 30 to 40 years of pretending that this is not important and that I do not need to have a biblical foundation in my life. And I challenge that." Now 66 and retired, Tim and Christine live in Aldershot and run their own company, speaking and advising on morally courageous leadership. He's also a visiting professor at three universities, a lay preacher in the Anglican Church, and a trustee of the Bible Society.
Thank you, Graham Wilson, for that wonderful testimony. I think it is a challenge. I would love to hear from you guys out there in the military, in the bush, in the places where God has placed you to defend your country, about Christianity, about faith, how to exercise my faith, how to demonstrate that. I think it is a challenge for many a Christian in the military forces, and to live it out every day without, like this man, to force it down on people or to bash it down on people's head. I can remember when I was there, when everybody is coming into and they have roll call. We didn't know, even know they call it roll call, but and the names is been written and everybody is on board. I can remember as that first night in the army. The guys come and they, some of them take their Bibles out and they kneel beside their beds and reading scripture and pray softly and before they go to sleep. In the morning when they wake up, they do the same thing. And so it goes on week after week after week. But as time goes on, I noticed that many of these people these men, young men, like me, a young man, 17 years old, some a little bit older, they don't read it anymore. They don't pray anymore. Many who didn't smoke start smoking. Many who didn't drink start drinking because you are allowed of two beers, I think, those years in the army. Only two for the normal troops. So, and then it just faded away. And later on in my own bungalow, it was only me that's left, that's still reading my Bible. And to see how people change. How do you express? How do you live out? How do you keep it, your faith, your relationship with God? How do you keep it in an environment that is sometimes so hostile? So, because there are a lot of men, 30 men in a bungalow, and many of them don't belong to a church, and some come from other kind of churches, and how you go about that? I would love to hear from you. How do you experiencing your relationship with God? Is there such a thing? Is it possible? What about, the first time you have to shoot someone? You're going, that's what we are being trained for. And when you go to the border to defend your country, there's a struggle, there's a fight and a half already, just to know that I'm going to shoot someone else. It's either him or me. And what do you do when that man is in your sights, and how your heart is pumping and beating and your thoughts is running, and this is, Lord, and how do you justify? How do you... I would love to hear from you guys. You know, for me as a young man, we never talk about these things, but, you sit and sometimes you just swallow it away and drink it down with the beers or whatever, and not to think about it. How do you guys experiencing it out there? And we would really love to hear from you by giving us an email and send it us to us, please, to tell us what do you experience. Are you still hot, warm for the Lord in the army? Or are you lukewarm, or that you just lose faith? We would really love to hear how you guys, in a time such as this, how you're experiencing your relationship, if you have one, in the army with God. And even if you didn't have one when you go there and you receive one while you are there, especially on the border, we would love to hear from you. Because it is relevant for us. It does count. We do care. We do care. That's why the South African Military Christian Fellowship is there, to cater for our men and women in the military, to help them cope, help them, give them hope, give them handles to hold on to the Word of God, that relationship. So please write to us. You listen now to 93.6 FM. Your Good News Community Radio Station. I'm your host, Chris Meyer, this side of the microphone. We are based in KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa, and we would love to hear from you. We're going to listen now. I think it is very, very, very prevalent to listen to our captain as he's going to share with us these questions and how to share with someone the good news. So here is some tools for you and me. That we can take up, learn from it, and to take the courage to take that one step forward to share the good news to others. Let's listen to the Captain Peter Lawrence.
Good evening, at ease, listeners. These past 9 months or so, we've heard the two questions, these two spiritual questions regarding where you stand before Almighty God and the gift of eternal life. The first question being, have you come to that place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die, you would go to heaven? And the second question, suppose you were to die and appear before Almighty God, and He were to ask, why should I allow you into my heaven? What would you say? Two piercing questions that need an answer, and which prayerfully you can now answer, or you were able to answer. But now the question being, don't you want to ask people those questions that you know and want to know? Where do they stand before Almighty God? Diagnostic questions to ascertain where they stand before God and perhaps help them to find salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So perhaps you're in a foxhole, perhaps you're in a car or an aeroplane, and you have a few moments with someone. You might never see them again, but you felt led to share the good news with them. So how do you do this? Maybe it's also just with a neighbor. It's going to take over a few months. You can ask the two questions. And of course, one's got to earn the right. You can't just go in there guns blazing, so to say. It once happened at a Bible college where this outline was being taught, and they went out for practical training, got into a taxi, and the one student straight away said, suppose you were to die. And of course, the one person in the taxi got such a fright that he jumped out, slid open the door, and got out the first opportunity, worried that he was perhaps going to die. But, of course, the question had been asked too quickly, and the right to ask the question had not been obtained. So over the next few months, we'll share how to share the two questions in the gospel. But we'll start tonight then with developing a friendly relationship. So this is critical. You know, also walking the talk. You've got to set a good example. People must see in you the love of Christ. They must see in you the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So the first point would be a sincere interest in the person's life. Ask him questions like where he went to school, why he joined the military, or the job that he's in. It's taking a sincere interest, not just quickly, but taking some time to get to know him better. And sincere listening, not just what's the next question or what next in developing a friendly relationship, but sincerely listening to his answers. And perhaps he's telling you about his grandmother that died or the financial situation he's in. And these are things that you can help with later. So listen sincerely that he can see that you take an interest in him. And sincere caring that there's follow-up and that you really, he heard what he had to say and you want to care and be there for him. And of course, this all goes about the Holy Spirit helping you, that you're dependent on the Holy Spirit helping you through this time. And so you'd be perhaps silently praying, others praying for you, knowing that you love to share the gospel, and you get prayer partners. But the first point then is developing a friendly relationship. And so I'd like to leave that with you, that before you ask the two questions, that you develop this friendly relationship with people. Even if it's just 5 or 10 minutes that it takes, or it might be over a few months, but you might only have that moment in life, that opportunity that is there and then gone, that you meet this person. And then you've sown seeds in his heart, the two questions, and the Holy Spirit, of course, dependent that he will continue to speak to this person's heart afterwards. So thank you. So take that to heart, developing this friendly relationship, that you can earn the right then to ask the two questions that you will come to in a few weeks' time. Now, thank you. Every blessing in Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Captain Peter Lawrence, for that teaching on how to. You know, sometimes we have so many knowledge, but we don't know how to, you know, how to go and share it with others. Or I'm afraid, or I am an introvert. I am not, you know, I don't speak to people. I don't talk to them, you know, or I'm a shy person. But this is really challenging. If you can listen to the devotion of Chaplain Ben Smith and the ultimate desire of God that he wants to live and dwell with in each person's life, that the Bible teaches that it is not God's will that none should perish, but that everybody must be saved. Well, we know not everybody will be saved because we have to make our own choices, decision to or not to. So then you and I, who are children of God, being born out of His Spirit, need to take at heart what we learn. Remember, Jesus said, "You shall be my witnesses." We have to go. We have to tell the world that Jesus saves. He is so exclusive. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here is a tool that Captain Peter Lawrence shared with us, how to do that. Build that relationship. And I think many out there already know so much and already have so many friends already that you already earn the right. You know, if you ask someone, "Can I ask you a question?" and he said yes, then you have the right. He opened for you the door. So when you do ask him these two vital questions and he said, "But who are you to ask me this?" But I ask you, can I ask you? And you said, yes. Now, you can't close the door now because you earned the right to ask. And then in your relationship with that person. Thank you, Captain Peter Lawrence. Friends, we're going to listen to our news reader, Riranzo Mangani, as he share with us what the SAMCF, what is going on in their lives and what is all their preps and things, modus operandi, for the coming time, coming month or so. Let's listen.
Attention!
Good evening, South Africa. Good evening, listeners of At Ease FM. Riranzo Mangani, your news reader. We pray for peace and an end to the terrible war in Ukraine, as well as the peace to the conflicts in other areas of the world. Let us continue to pray that soldiers fighting on both sides in Ukraine tend to and find comfort and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for their safety and the gift of eternal life in heaven, that they will have the peace that surpasses all understanding through Christ Jesus the Lord. This week on Thursday, 1st September, the present AMCF VP for Southern Africa, Peter Lawrence, hands over the VP duties to Major General Ramasi Terra from Madagascar. This is normally a 7-year term of voluntary office. Our Southern African region comprises of 14 countries. We pray all the best to General Ramasi Terra and a hearty congratulations on his new appointment. The Association of Military Christian Fellowship Prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sins. Bless the servicemen and women of all nations, and grant that we know the joy of being all in one in Christ Jesus. May be filled with your love and pass it to one another through the power of the Holy Spirit until his coming again. Amen. Please pray for the SANDF and other South African troops presently deployed to northern Mozambique to conduct peacekeeping operations. Pray also for the naval and the air support, as well as the medical staff all saving in different areas of operation. Planning for the Regional Association of Military Christian Fellowship Interaction, which is again taking place in Madagascar from 8 to 15 October 2022, continues to go well. Military ethics will be the new subject included in the program. Please pray for the preps to go well. Please consider financially supporting a delegate or delegates to attend from Southern Africa. Our SAMCF please need urgent financial support to send two naval petty officers to Madagascar to attend the interaction. Do consider whether you might help financially towards the affair. We please value our listeners' prayer for this news item. We thank God for our SANDF chaplains. Please join us praying for their ministry and the service in the SANDF. The SAMCF Working Committee met on last Saturday, 27 August, to update our constitution, as well as discuss a few other matters. Please pray for the follow-up things to do and work now required on updating our SAMCF constitution. Please consider how you listeners might become more involved in supporting the ministry of the SAMCF in the SANDF. This might be through prayer, financially, or other means. Let us know and we will further interact and contact you. Your support will be very much appreciated. I thank you. Remember, our contact details are 062-028-7546. I repeat, 062-028-7546. Our email address is smcf3@gmail.com. I repeat, smcf3@gmail.com. And you can also contact us on our At Ease email address, which is atease@gncr.org.za. atease@gncr.org.za. And you can also contact us on our Messenger at South African Military Christian Fellowship on our Facebook page. I thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Riri Rianzo, or as she's been known, Riri. Her name is Riranzo Mangani. Thank you for that news. And I trust that you jot down the details of the addresses and the websites. Because please, send us an email, because we are on our way to December, the Lord's willing, and planning for, again, a Christ Fest program in December. Start planning, because before you know, it's December and time is up. Well, folks, my time is up. I greet you in Jesus' name. I want to say thank you to all our content providers. I salute you in Jesus' name. Wherever you are, who you are, what you've done, wherever your position is and whatever your position is, doesn't matter. We all are a team, an amazing team, and I trust that you will be blessed and was blessed by this program. I'm going to play out with our Wellington March. And then we're going to sign out, and until we meet again next time, yeah, the same time, the same place, the Lord's willing, and be at ease as we're signing out.